You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, as we begin to try and prepare for the incoming light of Purim, what we have to bear in mind is that preparation for Purim is somewhat of an oxymoron in the sense that, unlike other times or events that one is looking towards, where the preparation is the actual clearing the path so that it can arrive at the destination, where the preparation is a fundamental part of the grasping of the experience that I've prepared for itself, when it comes to Purim, preparation looks something different. Preparation on Purim is not preparation for the light of Purim itself, because one cannot prepare for the light of Purim. The light of Purim is light that is revealed, that reveals the equal balance between one who prepares and one who doesn't prepare. It's the revelation that there are no distances and there are no differences in spite of the appearance of differences. And therefore, one cannot prepare from within a framework that thinks differently and views the world differently for a shattering of that framework, but rather the preparation that we engage in for Purim is the art of preparing, even though that we know that we cannot be fully prepared. We know that we cannot be fully prepared for the incoming light of Purim, yet nevertheless, there is a responsibility that rests upon us to prepare in spite of the fact that the preparation will always fail in terms of preparing ourselves for the incoming light. Now, this is true in general when it comes to light of redemption, which is so deeply associated with Purim, as Rabbi Nachman says that everybody is going to be profoundly surprised when Mashiach arrives, when redemption arrives, because nobody will have been expecting it, that there's a hesach hadas, that there's a departure of awareness or a departure of focus, a moment of mindlessness prior to the actual emergence of Mashiach Tzidkenu. And he says the entire world is going to be thrown into a frenzy because of the sudden appearance of Mashiach Tzidkenu. And that's going to be where the trauma comes from. The trauma is going to be the sudden departure from the way that I thought things took place to the sudden revelation of how things actually take place. And in terms of that suddenness and the amount of breakage between those two perspectives is going to be the movement and the process through which one goes through that divide. Now, Rabbi Nachman says, my people, and we're all his people, because ultimately, basov kulam yubrestav, in the end, everyone is going to be mechubber to the tzaddikim amitim, that through the art of hespoidedus, through talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through developing and cultivating a silent and personal language with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from within our own most ego and solitude, and crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and bringing everything that applies to us, creating our own Megillah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through that process of hespoidedus, we will have prepared ourselves ever so slightly for the incoming light of Mashiach, and we won't be as surprised and traumatized as other people when that sudden shift takes place. Hidden within this remarkable statement from Rabbi Nachman is the notion that one cannot fully prepare for a light that comes to shatter the pre-existing narrative. One cannot prepare for a miraculous light of Purim that comes to break us out of our stuckness of how we perceive difference and how we perceive unity. Mela, that's going to be the same experience of Mashiach, and therefore anything associated with redemption can never have a full preparation that then creates a full place that can receive the incoming light. Rather, it's a preparation that owns the deficiency of its own preparation. It's a preparation, it's a making vessels, in spite of the fact that we know that these vessels might not necessarily give us the strength and the tools that we need to experience Purim in the way that we want to experience. Nevertheless, Haman HaRasha, his original name is Memuchan. The name Memuchan means something that comes as it is already ready, something that emerges out of the ready. We see this by sukkah, tasev aloman ha'asui. There's a need to make a sukkah out of something that had to be prepared and then made into a sukkah, but not something that was pre-existent in the status of a sukkah, because there needs to be a lag between the preparatory stage and the stage of experience. Haman harasha, that notion of hamin ha'et, something that can be perfect, is the notion that there's no need for preparation. There's no need for preparation because I've always already arrived, kavyachol, because I am the center of the universe. In the eyes of Haman, each person is not only the center point at which HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself. That's a holy perspective. But rather, each and every person is on equal playing field with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God forbid. And that secret of Haman HaRasha wanting to grasp the 50th gate, and that secret of Haman wanting to be like God, that notion that one can be perfect. The notion of being perfect is one who says, I don't need to prepare. There's no need for the lag between preparation and experience. And therefore, one of the fundamental ways that we can be Moicha, the name of Amalek, and we can get rid of the klipa of Haman and Amalek, is to do the very opposite of what Haman HaRasha tries to get us to think, which is to think that we don't need to prepare. Ah, the preparation for Purim can't be an actual preparation for Purim, because the light of Purim rests beyond any possibility of expectation or any possibility of preparedness. Nevertheless, the preparation that we have to engage in the process of preparing for Purim, is the notion that my preparation will sometimes not lead to anything that I will be able to grasp on the day of Purim itself. But nevertheless, I prepare myself because preparation is the work itself, showing that I am not yet ready to receive this light. I am not yet ready to truly believe in my capacity to experience a Purim. I am not yet ready to reorient myself and to let go of all the resentments that keep me away from a good Purim, and rather to just be present. I'm not ready for that. I'm unprepared. It's very real, and I'm completely unprepared. And Haman HaRasha says it's min hamuchan, and I am going to say hinani muchan umazuman. It's hinani. It's a prayer before being prepared. It's a prayer towards preparedness. Ah, the preparedness leads us to a recognition that I'm unprepared completely, because there's no way of being fully prepared for light that comes to reveal the infinite light of all things and to negate all boundaries, to negate all difficulty, and to alleviate all suffering. But nevertheless, we prepare in spite of the fact that the preparation is futile, because hidden within the act of preparation is the real secret of what the entirety of Avodas Hashem is all about, which is that our actions, our preparation, our motivations, our movements, our participation, our activities, all of them are ultimately tchilasam avoida. They begin as avoida v'soifem matana. In the end, they emerge as a gift, as the Ramchal Schus Yalgen Elinu writes in the 26th chapter of Mesilas Yesharim, that in truth, all human experience, all ability to volitionally choose, all of it, ability to prepare ourselves, to study it properly, to know the script and to know what we have to do and to prepare ourselves for the moichin and to be present. And this is true every day, all the more so on Purim, which is the everyday of every day. That nevertheless, a person is never going to be fully prepared, and all of my preparation will have just been a segula, a movement, almost like a childhood plaything that pretends that I'm preparing for something, just so that the parents can truly give the gift that is completely undeserved. That secret of tchilasa avoda v'sofa matana, that in the end, the fact that the preparation for Purim is a failed element, and the only reason we have to prepare is because we're trying to break away from the mindset of not needing preparation, which leads us into this bypass kind of in-between space of a preparation that knows that it can't truly prepare, and therefore the preparation itself becomes the nature of the avoida. The sheshes mehachol become the nature of avoida. It's what happens when the tzaddikim describe that they've lost their olam hazeh, they've lost their olam haba, and now they're able to be fully present because now they could just be engaged in the preparation itself without destination. That avoida of preparation, of getting ourselves ready for the light of Purim, is something that shines a light on all aspects of Avodas Hashem, which is that ultimately we can do and we can do and we can do and we can deserve and we can deserve and we can deserve, but ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives everything b'matnas chinam as a gift, a completely undeserved gift that is emergent out of our playfulness with our ability to try and to pretend that we can try and deserve something, but ultimately with the knowledge that we can't deserve anything, ultimately it's a bechira l'mala mitamadas. Hashem has chosen us. One cannot prepare for that. One cannot deserve that. It is simply something that happens by dint of the fact that we're Nishmas Yisrael. It's the depth of unpreparedness. It's the Bechiras Yisrael even before they came into existence of Yisrael Achsher Becha Espire, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael beforehand. There's no possibility of preparing for such a choice. And therefore, all of our preparation is like playing with wooden swords, shaking our groggers, making noise through all of our shtadlis and all of the necessary shtadlis and all of the acts and the mitzvos and every aspect of practical life that we have to engage in. But at the core, at the Purim point of each moment, is the recognition that this preparedness is just playfulness, like the Maisa Mei Bitachon, like playing with my wooden sword, even though I know that the king knows it's just a wooden sword, because that's what the king loves about me. The king loves that I'm just pretending. The king loves that I know that my preparation can never lead to anything. And in that place, we generally operate in accordance to a principle that states that one who eats that which they do not deserve will be ashamed to look the other individual in the face. Nahama de Kisufe, the general principle for why Bechira is a fundamental necessity. Hashem wants us to earn our keep. Why? Because if I were to get my keep, if I were to gain something without effort, then there would be an element of shame that would be unable to truly engage in the goodness that is reserved for me. That through human effort, through human volitional engagement, the individual meets themselves and they become more than themselves in the act of production. And through that process, they can taste something in a far greater way. And that's very true. But there are moments, especially in a Purim moment, where person comes to recognize that the threat of Nehemet de Kisufa, the threat that keeps us under the gun of Bechira and concealment and the need to pretend as if Hashem is not here, there, everywhere, that's where he can be found, and to operate within the Moichin of Yichud Tata, to be stuck in the lower unity of Zer Anpin and all of the Hanhagas HaMishpat that we see, all of the fair and the unfair that we perceive in the world, all of the ways that we look at the world the rest of the year other than Purim. There comes a time on Purim where we say, you know what? I am fully aware that no matter how much effort I put into this entire experience in life, no matter how much preparation I make, I will never be truly deserving of anything, because there is no amount of preparation that a person can prepare themselves to be deserving of the infinite expression of divine expression that is expressed every moment in our lives, from the ability to have Nishmas Yisrael, from the ability of being alive, for the ability of knowing what the Torah is, knowing what the mitzvot are, knowing what Emunas Yisrael is, knowing what Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu is, knowing what Purim means, having been able to do a mitzvah at one point in our lives. There is no amount of effort available in the entirety of existence and all the possibilities of existence that can equal the amount of preparation necessary for experiencing one nekuda, one drop of Avodas Hashem in Metzias. Of Yafasha, Achas Boilam Azeh, Yoyter Mechayo Oilam Haba, that one moment in this world is far greater than the rest of the world, because to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu down here in the Tzimtzum is of the greatest gift imaginable. And therefore, we know that there's no preparation available. And so once I realize that there's no amount of preparation that I can possibly go through that will make me deserving of the gift that I'm about to receive, then I can stop pretending and I can realize everything is a gift. Everything is a matnas chinam. And when I accept that everything is a matnas chinam and there's no amount of preparation I can do to properly deserve it, mamela, I get over the fear of the shame of not being deserving, because I know I'll never be deserving. And it's just a joke to think that I'll ever be deserving, because no human being can ever be fully deserving of the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is expressed in Nishmas Yisrael and throughout Nishmas Yisrael into the rest of existence towards Vias Goyal Tzedek. There's no level of preparation that can prepare oneself for that. And Mamela, we come to realize that it's all Nehemet de Kisufa. I'm undeserving of everything. And Mamela, if I'm going to be shameful anyway, if I know I'm not earning anything, then Rabbeinu Shleilam, give me everything. Give me everything. Give me everything. Give me everything. If I'm undeserving of anything, then give me everything. And on that place, on a Purim, it's a secret of Kol HaPoyshe Yad Noistam Lo. Kol HaPoyshe Yad, because the recognition of the preparation, of the impoverishment of the self in preparation for Purim, in the stuckness of our thoughts in terms of what the Moichin of Purim actually mean, what Geula means, what Mechias HaMalik means. So then we come to realize the impoverishment of all of us. And that's the Kol HaPoyshe Yad Noistam Lo. And we come to terms with the fact that I'll never deserve anything, and therefore give me everything, Rabbeinu Shleilam. And so in the spirit of trying to prepare for that which cannot be prepared for, we'll enter into the preparation of the Heilige Day. Be'ikr to be mevatel the klipa of Memucha and Haman HaMalik, which is the secret of assuming that I don't need to prepare. And so there's a Heilige teaching from the Chiddush HaArim, one of the most important teachings in my heart when it comes to Purim, from the Chiddush HaArim, which says that ultimately Klal Yisrael were so tired. Klal Yisrael came to a place of Shutz Shebrachinkeit over the experience of exile, where we came to the das of, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need redemption. We need redemption now. We need Mashiach now. We need everything. We can't be solvable anymore. We can't tolerate anymore. And when the cries of Klal Yisrael go high enough, because they come from a deep enough place, they literally tear apart all of the preventions and all of the partitions and all of the gates that blocked Tfilas Yisrael from going up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyachol. And in that place, Klal Yisrael were moiser nafshim, like Esther Amalka, who said, Kasher avadati, avadati, I have nothing left, and therefore I scream from the depths, Keli, Keli, Lama, Azavtani. And in that place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. He says, okay, Bnei Yisrael, you can have anything you want. I'm going to give you a day where you can have anything you want. And the Malachim, as they typically do, because the Malachim want to make sure that the game continues until the final culmination of the game with Vias HaMashiach, fighting against the natural tendency of Klal Yisrael to preempt the ending, because we know the ending of the joke already. The Malachim don't know the ending of the joke, so they push things off so that they can finally arrive at their end in the element of Be'ita. But Klal Yisrael try and bring about the end prior to its time in the secret of Achishena. And even though the Malachim push back against it, nevertheless, we uncover the secret of Be'ita Achishena, that it can be in its time, but yet it can also be not in its time as well. And we can have the best elements of both the expressions of Mashiach Tzidkenu. But the Malachim push back against them, and they say, Rabbeinu Shleilim, if they ask for this day, then ultimately everything is going to end. Mashiach Tzidkenu is going to come, and the full revelation will take place. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to balance what needed to be done, Kaviyachol, and he ultimately came to the conclusion that I'm going to give a day where everything is available. I'm going to give a day where everything is open. I'm going to give a day where a person can connect to a part of themselves and a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a part of Metzias and a part of the other that is so profoundly deep that it will bear an irreducible impact upon their spiritual and physical experience through the rest of the year, through the rest of their lives. The power of Purim is an unfathomable Purim of Ein Oid Milvad Imamish, of Yesod Da'aba, the Sneskala Lamata, the revelation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above and below, in spite of all apparent differences, with all of the prerequisite laws that enable a person to function with such a unified duality or a dualistic unity that still remains stuck within the human mind of Yichud Ilah, Yichud Tata. But the secret of Purim is coming to terms with the fact that everything, everywhere is HaKadosh Baruch Hu being revealed and revealing himself to me, and that he is the place of the world and the world is not his place. That Moichin of Purim is so powerful that a person can redeem themselves and redeem the world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll give them an option for it, but I'm also going to give them a commandment to become intoxicated. I'm going to give them a commandment to become intoxicated with the busyness of the day, with the bahala of the day, with the expectations of the day. And again, intoxication means intoxication to whatever degree it means for that individual, each person according to their balance, each person according to their mahalach. Sleep is as powerful, if not more powerful, than drinking on Purim, and there's absolutely no need for a person to become intoxicated on substance if it creates a pikuach nefesh in any other element of their psychological, spiritual, internal lives on any level, and we're machmir when it comes to sakanas nefashos, and we're machmir when it comes to pikuach nefesh. But ultimately, because it's such a powerful day, because the day is so ripe with depth of revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unity that it could refine all things and it could reveal geula within exile itself, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the command to become insane on the day, to lose our minds, to be busy. And the busyness that I want to focus on, and what the Chiddush Hashirim says, is that by becoming busy with the day, they miss the opportunity. By becoming busy with the day, intoxicated in the day, they forget to ask what they can ask for. So there's an element at the heart of Purim, which is the fact that because of the busyness of the day and because of all of the elements of the intoxication of the mind and the spirit and the joy and the overwhelmingness and all of the responsibilities that one has on that day, internal and external, so a person ultimately loses sight of Purim itself and is unable to utilize the proper power of the day. One of the areas in which a person becomes most mevuhal, person becomes most overwhelmed, is the expectations that we have for the day, is the expectation that because Purim is such a lofty day, because Ad Lo Yada, because Emuna of Einoin Milvado, because Yisrael Da'aba is Neskala Noilam Asiya, because it's the secret of the Megillah, because it's known as the Yom Kippurim, where even Yom Kippur is Talu and Oymed in Purim, it's the light of L'Asid Lavo, all of the Nisam are going to be Mevutal, except that Megillah's Esther is going to remain because it represents the Tzimtzum that's higher than the light. All of the secrets of the Or of Atzilus that's Yorei down the Mata to be Megala, how the Tzimtzum was not a real Tzimtzum, all of the Simcha B'lidai, all of the Tikkun, all of the Geula, all of the Mechias HaMalek, all of the identification with Mordechai HaTzadik, with the secret of Mashiach Tzidkenu, with Esther Malka, with the secret of concealment and the Shechina Kadosha, every person finding themselves within the mindset of Keli, Keli, Lama Azavtani, and learning the secret of Im Le'ez Kazoi Sigat L'Malchus, or the secret of Kasher Avadati, Avadati, the secret of Hegai, the secret of Gam Charbon Ezakur Latov, the secret of the Shar Hanun. All of these secrets of Purim, all of these expectations that we cultivate for ourselves on Purim, tend to lead us astray from what actually takes place on Purim. Because the notion that I need to actually experience anything on Purim, the notion that I need to do anything other than mitzvah sayom and to best prepare myself for the day, the notion that I need to come out with some certifiable or verifiable spiritual imprint from the day in order for the day to be meaningful is a complete misunderstanding of the nature of Purim. Because the notion that it's only if I am masig something, it's only if I grasp something, it's only if I truly understand something and I come away with a clear and expressible way of experiencing Purim that my Purim will be meaningful, that keeps us stuck in the ego. That keeps us stuck in the notion of self that wants to accomplish something so that the self can feel at one with its accomplishment after the event is over. That accomplishment, hasaga-driven motivation, is the way that we function the rest of the year. It's the way that we function because a person has to have that motivational desire to grasp and to grow. But on Purim, there's a revelation of a light that does not need to be experienced or felt in order to be encountered in the most real way imaginable. And therefore, this dialectic, this dichotomy, this stira that takes place between tremendous, massive amounts of expectations, spiritually, emotionally, pseudo-oriented, kavana-oriented, and the actual outcome of the day of Purim, is more often than any other yontif, at least for myself, in stark distinction to one another. Because with the expectations come the identification with all of the positive elements we discussed earlier, and all of the desire to truly, truly, truly reach that place that I need to reach because I'm basing it on some memory of what I thought it was supposed to look like years ago. Or because there's an authentic motivation to touch that place that's so deep that breaks the heart open and results in tears of revelation. Whatever the motivation to try and create and sculpt the nature of our Purim for ourselves, it's rooted in a stagnation. It's rooted in a misperception and the notion that I need to know what Purim is for me in order to experience Purim. And therefore, when I expect and I develop and I develop expectations and I have assumptions, what happens when I make assumptions is that they never stick with me. They always melt outwards and affect other people around me, because now once I've created an assumption, so now I grow into the place of possible resentments, because anything that goes against my inner assumption of how things are going to go naturally prevents me from accomplishing the thing I want to accomplish. And therefore my response to that is going to be resentment. And therefore the expectations and the demands of how the day should go are ultimately the invitation and the stepping stone for the frustration and the very natural encounters of disquietude and frustration that individuals find with other people on Purim. The notion that this person is in my way because I'm supposed to be over there. And that is completely outside of the spirit of Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'eihu Matanas L'Avyonim, that each person is the Ani, each person has the right of way, each person is the Dalu Miskein, each person has the right of way on Purim. Every person gets to walk in front of me just as I get to walk in front of each and every other person. And if I come with my expectations of what the day is going to bring, other than the desire to be Mekayim Ratzon Hashem to the best of my ability, so that's where the resentments are going to be born. Memela, there's a profound teaching that comes from Rav Leib Eger's son, Rav Yehuda Eger, in a sefer Shevet Miyehuda, where he says, describing this very condition of Purim, he says, very often on Purim, and I'm paraphrasing, there's a notion that I prepare, and I come to find that ultimately the day of Purim is frustrating for whatever reason. I'm not able to reach that place. I'm not able to get there. There's something blocking me. I don't even believe in that place. I'm bored. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I'm cranky. All of the variations of why there's a part of us that sits angrily and frustrated aside within ourselves at the Purim Suda, never allowing the full joy to be embraced, because the Ikar Simchas Hayom is specifically to that place that resists the Simchas we're going to see, as Rabbi Nachman describes. The parts of us that are naturally besimcha, Purim is not their day. The rest of the year is their day. On Purim, the avoid is that one nekuda within ourselves that is never besimcha, and we have to be koyfefet to simcha to show that it dances with simcha. And as a result of our frustrations, we lose Purim, we lose the experience of Purim, we throw Purim out because something negative has taken place in our mind, some kavana wasn't reached, some ideal wasn't realized. And so what Rabbi Yehuda Eger says is as follows, that we see that the nature of Purim is chayev inish lebesume b'poria ad lo yada, that there's a commandment, there's an interdiction that a person is called to lose their minds, to not be one with knowledge on Yom Tov, to not be able to discern between good and bad, but rather chayev inish lebesume b'poria. Each person has to become intoxicated, again, as we said, in whatever level we're talking about intoxication, on the day of Purim, to the degree that they don't know between good and bad, they don't know between blessed is Haman and cursed is Mordechai. And the Halaga Rav Yehuda Eger in the Shevet Meyehuda asks a question as follows. What is this language of lebesume? Why doesn't it say lishtot? Why doesn't it say a person should get shikr, a person should become intoxicated on Purim? What's the language of lebesume? And to even add, lebesume is a sense of olfactory use, of breathing in through the nose, of smelling something, of connecting to something through the spirit of breath through the nose, of smelling. The secret of Mar Dror, Mordechai, everything about Purim is all about reyach, nichoach. It's the secret of ruach hapeinu Mashiach Hashem. But why is it lebesume? What is the orientation towards smell here that Chazal have chosen to use the word intoxication to the degree that it would be similar in spelling and in orientation to the sense of smell? And Rabbi Yehuda Eger says something incredible. He says that what happens when a person goes into a fragrance shop, what happens when a person goes in to buy something that smells pleasant, to buy flowers, to buy some pleasant odor, some fragrance, So even if I do not buy anything, even if I come away empty-handed, nevertheless, by dint of the fact that I spent time in the room, by spent time in the store, I will come away with an irreducible fragrance that will continue with me even as I exit the store. Meaning to say that the light of Purim is a light that expresses itself upon a person in spite of the fact that we reached what we felt we needed to reach or not. Because it's like entering into a chanut shel boysim. It's like entering into a place that sells pleasant spices. And in that place, a person will actually become affected by the power of the day, irrespective of whether I'm aware of experiencing the day or not. And this mindset is going to enable us to be present in the day, because when a person enters in the light of Purim with the secret of lo echpatiyut de kedusha, of I don't care, today is Purim, no matter what happens, today is Purim. And it's like Yom HaKippurim, where itzumo shel yomer mechaper, where the essence of the day itself, the ikar, is to go through a Purim. It's to go through a Purim. It's not to have the greatest Purim suit in the world. It's not to be mekayim the mitzvos in a way that are going to be memorial for the rest of reality. It's simply the mitzvah sayom and the attempt to align oneself to the secret of Purim in spite of the fact that I'm not prepared for it. Yes, I will try and celebrate the moments and the wins, but no, I will not demand an absolute perfection out of the day. This is the light of Purim itself. Purim is the language of pirurim. It's small drops. It's small crumbs. All a person needs to come away with is a crumb of Purim. The secret of shirayim from the tzaddikim, that even if you don't get to eat the full loaf of bread, nevertheless, you can have a crumb. And hidden within the crumb is the full totality of the experience itself, because the part and the whole are equal. The secret of Purim, which is Pirurim, as Rabbi Nosson points out, as the Sod Yesharim point out, is the secret that hidden within the very crumbs of my experience, hidden within the very leftovers of the leftovers, the moments of insight, the moments of calmness that I cultivate on Purim, that is an irreducible expression that remains steadfastly emblazoned upon the soul, and it changes me and the rest of the way that I function, whether I know it or not. The secret of preparation, it turns out, is in truth the very secret of Purim itself, because just as we said, the preparation for Purim is the impossibility of fully preparing, and therefore it's a preparation that is almost doomed from the start, because the thing that it's trying to prepare for is far beyond the possibility of preparation, because the light of Purim is far beyond graspability. So too, the light of Purim itself, the way to prepare for Purim is to understand that, yes, I have expectations, yes, I have a desire for the day, but let me uncover the secret of joy, which is humble expectations, and the acceptance upon myself that the conditions of this reality are less than perfect, so as to enable Bechira, and therefore the best that I can try and do is be as present as I can in this day without expectation. And then when a person is free from expectation, other than the desire to be Mekayim Ratzon Hashem throughout the day, wherever I find myself, there I am. V'gam Charvona Zachor Laktov, even the Chorbanos of Purim, even the frustrations, even the tendency towards frustration because I need to get there quicker, if I'm able to pause myself with this intention, then I can realize, wait a second, I'm not going to fall for the trick that the Chiddush Arim says. I'm not going to keep my mind intoxicated on getting to the Purim Suda or the Tzaddik or this idea fast enough so that I can celebrate my pre-expected nature of Purim. Rather, I'm going to pause and focus on the real power of the day, which is how do I calm myself down in this moment? How can I be kinder to the person next to me? How can I look the Ani in the eyes and actually look at the fact that it's a world of destitution and that my only role in this world is to be like Mordechai at Tzaddik and Esther Malka and to say, how can I help? How can I bring more joy to Nishmas Yisrael? And in that secret, and that getting out of our own way of coming to realize that, no, we're not memuchan. We don't have no preparation. And we also can't prepare. Elama, our preparation is to come to terms with the fact that we can never be prepared. And ultimately, Purim is going to be what Purim is, and it doesn't have to last any longer than Purim itself. It doesn't have to last any longer than Purim itself. This is the secret, and what this will end, this is the secret of Mechiyas HaMalek on Purim. Because Amalek and Haman, like we said, it's always mimuchan. It's always coming from the ready. It's always feeling that it's perfect. It's always feeling that it has full control over things. And the place that this full attempt at control comes into the sharpest focus is with regards to the anxiety that the individual has naturally in terms of the impending doom of the upcoming situation. Each and every person lives to one degree or another with a holy and symptomatically unholy expression of this experience, which is the anticipatory grief over something that has not yet happened. This is how Chazal have understood that we know what Shabbos is. We say Vay Av the Nefesh, and it's also what we understand as anxiety, that anxiety looks towards an unknown future, and because the future is unknown, it assumes the worst, and because it assumes the worst, it needs to find a way to protect itself against the incoming getting worse, but unlike a natural fear, which is identifiable as an object and therefore has a very specific way in which I can grapple with it and deal with it, anxiety is an objectless experience, and therefore it has no specific way of grappling with it. So the mind says, what do I do when I can't grapple with this thing that is assaulting my mind? I develop a new tool of grappling, which is worrying. So for the anxious person, worrying about the unknown future is the way that we somehow, some way, push away the fear and the negativity of the unknown future. And this is how we get caught up in the Daiga B'Levish. And sometimes the only way to break free from it is Yasichena La'Acherim, to explain the madness internally so that another person can properly understand it as well through their own lens. And this da'aga is perpetually rooted towards machar, towards that which happens next. Depression, not as a clinical expression of things, but rather as the mood orientation of the blackness or the grayness and the inactivity and the lack of vitality, is associated to the past. And fear, anxiety, anticipation, disquietude, disconcern is rooted towards machar, towards the future. And machar, tomorrowness, the nature of that which happens after, is very often what paralyzes us from being able to enjoy the today itself. And this is very much connected to what we discussed. We all have a question of, what are we going to feel after Purim? How am I going to feel after Purim? And what's going to be when I feel that my expectations have not been met on Purim, that kind of come down from Purim itself? But if we can learn how to reorient ourselves to the tomorrow that comes after Purim, then we can enable ourselves to be present in the today of Purim. And so this nature of machar is where Amalek attacks us. And we see this in the most profound way, as we're going to encounter in Parshas Zachor, where we have to battle Amalek not only in Torah Shebaal Peh and the questions of Torah Shebaal Peh, where they have so naturally infiltrated, where we need the Amelis of Torah, Ayin, Mem, Lamed, in order to be Mevatel, the Klipa of Amalek, the Aleph, the Ayin, Mem, Lamed, Kuf of Amalek, and the Amal Kuf, and the effort that we put into Torah is what's Mevatel Amalek. Generally, we understand why Amalek and Safek is going to be found by Torah Shebaal Peh. But to find Amalek by Torah Shebichsav, but yet we find that very nature when it comes to erasing Amalek in the secret of reading Zachor, that we don't remember how to read Zecher or Zecher. And in that place, in Torah Shebichsav, we also encounter this splitness. We encounter this split divide where we don't know how to read the proper word. Amalek has invested itself, kavyachol, into the way that we encounter Torah Shebichsav. Now the doubts have really hit the place where we need certainty. And the only answer that we have is kaflayim letoshia, to read it twice. That's the only power that we have to overcome Amalek. A person has to continue overcoming Amalek over and over and over and over, each day, each moment renewed. But nevertheless, there's another place where Amalek invests itself into the Torah Shebichsav, and this is what's referred to as the Milim She'en Lehem Achra. There's five words, Rashi points out, based on Chazal, that it's not clear which direction they should be read in terms of the Torah. They can be read in accordance of one or two ways. It's an ambiguous meaning. And one of those places is the battle with Amalek, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe and Yeshua, Tzeli Lachem Machar Ba'Amalek, that you will go out tomorrow and battle against Amalek. And Rashi says that Machar, this word tomorrow, is one of the words in the Torah that does not have achra. It's ambiguous. It's not clear whether tomorrow means that I'm going to battle against Amalek today, and then tomorrow I will go out, or am I going to go out tomorrow to battle against Amalek? So we see that Amalek has an achiza, has a grasp on this place of machar, of tomorrow, of anxiety, which is why Haman has to live in a mindset of memuchan, because only a perfect person who doesn't need to prepare for anything has a foolproof way of pretending that anxiety doesn't exist, because they're not afraid of the future. They're more powerful than the future. As opposed to us, who we're trying to learn the secret of bittul with faith, which is the recognition that I have no control over machar, but nevertheless, I believe that it's going to be transformed into the osios of rachim, of rechem, of a womb that is prepared to give birth, of something compassionate, of something big, of something that is or ein sof, just beyond the scene. And so when Esther Malka comes on Purim, and Ahasuerus says, I'll give you Ad Chatzia Malchus. So it's very interesting to see that Chatzia Malchus is the gematria 496. A Chatzia of that is the gematria of Machar. It's 248, because that's what Esther Malka wants. Esther Malka wants to take that ambiguity, that unfinishedness, that anticipatory dread towards the future of what's going to happen after Purim ends, and to bring it into the day of Purim itself, to allow that kli of machar, of not knowing how it's going to turn out, to become the very way that I encounter Purim. And the reality that even if I don't experience anything on Purim, and I feel terrible machar, nevertheless, I'm still okay on Purim. And that's why when Ahasuerus comes back and says, Esther Malka, I'm going to give you anything. He says, Tinasin gam machar, give machar also, because what Esther Malka wants is that ambiguity of not knowing how it's going to be. The acknowledgement prior to encountering the failed expectations, that the expectations are not necessarily going to be what they're going to be. I can prepare, I can do all of my kavanos, I can prepare and create the idealized vision in my head, but the face of reality on Purim day has to be the light of lo ichbatiyut. There's nothing that I care about other than kiyum of ratzon Hashem. And in that way, we will make it a more joyous Purim for ourselves. We'll make it a more joyous Purim for the people around us. We'll make it more opportune day to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in what the Chiddush Harim said, which is the deepest day of tefillah available. When I learned to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every traffic jam and every frustration and every moment of despondency, God forbid, or sadness or boredom on Purim, and I learned to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu there as it is in the secret of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light being revealed and it not going the way that I've expected things to go and still being okay and still being happy because I know that it's a chut shel boisem. I know that I am in a fragrance shop and I'm going to smell like Purim even afterwards, and Yisuma Shal Yom Bechaper, Ad Lo Yada, to the degree that I don't know what a good Purim is, what a bad Purim is, because there's no distinction, all Purim is just Purim, then at that place a person is able to daven Karoya and Purim, and then a person can properly prepare themselves to be completely unprepared for the emergent light of Purim, Be'ezras Hashem.
You've been listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Inward was created by Rabbi Zach Kamenetz and is produced by Zev Gavriel. The music is by Zusha. You can help support the production of this podcast by visiting us online at orpodcasts.com.